Welcome to Ask the Guru, the podcast where we answer the tough questions like, who am I and what am I here for? Thank you so much for joining me today on the quest for the answers. Today on Ask the Guru, we are going to answer one of those questions that every single person is going to encounter, not just once, but maybe several times during their life. See, at those times of huge growth, those times of expansion, the time when we are being called to birth something, I mean, we could be moving through some sort of birthing of maybe a new job, a new idea, a new relationship, maybe an actual baby. And no matter what, when we find ourselves embarking on this edge of the precipice of something great, of our greatness, we always feel as if we're being asked to step off a cliff into the unknown. And this can be incredibly scary. I see people oftentimes sitting on an actual cliff, right? Being asked to jump into, say, a pool of water. And you can see how the fear can polarize them. And there they know exactly the outcome. They see the water. But because they've never experienced it before, there's still that bridge. There's the gap from leaving the edge of the cliff and then landing in the water. And that's the part that they fear. And this is the same for anybody that is creating anything in their life. You're going to be asked to walk a bridge from inspiration or the idea stage where it just belongs in your mind, where you visioned it, you see the end result, and then where you actually are, and that bridge gapping the two. And walking that bridge can be incredibly terrifying because it is the bridge of the unknown. We have no idea what we are going to encounter on that space. It's sort of somewhere in between what is and what we are desiring. And in that in-between realm, many of us feel uncomfortable navigating that space of the unknown. I remember one time when I was leading a retreat in Costa Rica, a transformational retreat, and people were looking for expansion. They were looking to grow, to come back from this retreat somehow changed, shifted, different, expanded. And at one point, we took a hike to a waterfall in Costa Rica, and this waterfall had this beautiful place where you could jump off from a high point into this pool of water. And many of the people that were with me were jumping off of this cliff into the water. You know, they were all landing safely and having fun and doing it again and again. And one of the participants had never done anything like that before and wanted to push herself over that edge. She was going through great growth in her life. And I think somehow this cliff, this stepping off this waterfall was going to, in some way, show her that she could do it. So there she was on the edge of this cliff, and we were all sitting in the pool below, you know, rooting her on, calling her down, telling her she could do it. And you could visibly see her begin to tremble. She would walk up to the edge, take a few deep breaths, and her legs would start to shake. You could see her hands shaking, and she would back up again. And this probably went on for 10 or 15 minutes, and you could see that the longer it went on, it was like she stiffened more and more. You could almost physically see the shackles holding her in place, getting tighter and tighter. And to my amazement, this incredible, amazing human found the courage and the strength to pull those shackles off, and through the trembling, through the shaking, forced herself off the edge of this cliff. And you've never seen, it was palpable, the invigoration that she emerged from the water with. She was absolutely a different person at that point, having overcome this challenge. She had pushed herself out of her comfort zone. She knew she didn't have to. There was no reason that she needed to do that. Nobody was chasing her, but she knew she was facing herself in that moment, that the only person that she was taking down was that person that holds her back all the time in life. And this was her opportunity to move through the opposition of her mind. And I think of this often as this is part of our lives. We should be navigating at all times the edge of our comfort zone. We should recognize where our comforts lie, where our boundaries currently reside, and then look outside of that. I mean, even this podcast that I'm doing right now, this is outside of my comfort zone. So the first, few times I sat down to do this, I was incredibly petrified. It would have been so much easier to just say, never mind. But part of me likes to, much like that participant in that retreat standing on the edge, I know that when I'm feeling that feeling of fear about the unknown, fear about moving myself forward, I know that I'm on the verge of greatness. It's something I've observed my entire life. Every time that I've been faced with exploring something new, surfing the edge of my comfort zone, for example, teaching yoga. I remember my first class, it was incredibly terrifying, and I had to talk myself into it. But when the class was over, I felt amazing. So the next time that I came to that room to teach a class again, I reminded myself that how I'm going to feel after the class. And this is something I've taken with me through everything. See, eventually, it wasn't for a long time, probably many years and thousands of classes, but eventually it became part of my comfort zone where I no longer had to go through the same routine of worry and fear. I just walked into the room and could teach a class. But then it was workshops or it was speaking. I do inspirational speaking oftentimes. I've, talked for churches on podcasts or on the radio. And each time that I embarked on something new, I was petrified. And I would work through those same emotions. But I always reminded myself, I remember this feeling and I know how I'm going to feel afterwards. All I have to do is get myself to show up and then move through it. And on the other side, I'm going to have expanded, grown. I'm always looking for these opportunities. Even within the realm of teaching, I could get comfortable teaching yoga maybe in one particular space, but now I need to test how do I feel when I'm teaching in different spaces or in bigger capacity. Now I'm comfortable teaching 20 people. Can I teach 50? Could I teach 100 or even 1,000? Each time I look for where is my level where I'm going to now feel a little nervous, and that's what I'm looking for. And then I do that until it becomes part of my comfort zone again. And that's when I know I've grown. And this is going to be a constant, hopefully, in my life. So I might as well get good at it. I might as well get good at pushing myself off that edge instead of running from it. Feeling that feeling of my legs trembling or the desire to run, to get away, but looking at what it is I'm facing and reminding myself it's all about getting on the other side of it. And in that space, I'm going to have expanded and there's a whole new world that opens up. So where are you being asked right now to expand, to grow in your life? What is the edge of your comfort zone? Are you comfortable in your job because it's the place that you're working for? It's the job that you're doing. It's the certain amount of hours. Where would you be a little bit uncomfortable if they maybe gave you a new role or if you had to be placed in leadership? What is it for you where you know you would grow from this experience, yet It's terrifying. Anybody who's ever done anything great in their life that can stand back and say, yes, I did that, felt the feeling my friend felt as she stood on the edge of that waterfall, that cliff, about to jump. It was the terrifying feeling. See, but many of us just know how to mask it, how to push that down, how to show up, how to move through it, because we know that on the other side is magic. And if we do it enough times and we show up enough times, it's going to become part of our comfort zone, which means we've expanded. If my friend hadn't made it off the cliff that day, if she had retreated, turned around, and left, eventually she would have to face that. There was something there for her, something she was being called to face. Eventually, she would have to face that. And the next time she was faced with that opportunity, it would be 100 times harder, because she would now have in her consciousness what it felt like the last time and how she didn't succeed last time. So now she's got a failure in her mind and a fear of failure that's weighing her down even more. So there's always that first opportunity. When we get an inspiration, we get an idea, we know we're being called towards greatness, and it comes with that tremendous energy, the energy we could see surging through her body, causing her to tremble. That energy that's trying to compel you forward, that wants to pull you into it. And if you stay stagnant, that energy, it does the opposite. If that energy doesn't get used in the appropriate manner, it doesn't become the jets under you, pushing you forward. If you stay still and just let sit in this energy that is burning you up, it'll eventually create ailment. It will create trauma. It'll create all sorts of terrible things within us. So we have to notice when inspiration hits us, when we're being called to create, that new idea for a business shows up in your mind and it comes with this incredible surge of energy and passion, or that new relationship, job that you're being called towards, but you're a little nervous. You think maybe you're not ready for it. Maybe you're not good enough. You are being called into a state of expansion, to step up to a new level, a place you've never been before, so you don't know how you're going to perform, who you're going to be. This is a beautiful place to be, because it means you're on the precipice of growing wings, of expanding, of seeing a whole new world open up. But if you stay where you are and you don't move forward and you don't utilize that passion, that inspiration, and now bring it into fruition, then it can create some drastic responses within your body, within your consciousness. You're going to feel that energy moving into maybe emotions that are like anger or frustration or guilt, the emotions that aren't serving you, the emotions that keep you stuck. You're going to tell stories of why it wasn't your fault you couldn't move forward, because you're going to have to figure out a reason to rationalize it. So those stories will then feed those emotions, and more you're building shackles. Or you could stop telling those stories right now, free yourself, and just move forward. Remember that passion that you had. Remember that idea that you had. Everything starts, see, in the realm of the divine. It comes from divine inspiration. Nobody can say where those ideas emerge from. You know, they just seem to jump at you out of the ether, like you're a little antenna picking it up. See, but you had to be tuned into that frequency. It was just right for you to pick up, nobody else. It's your message. And once that enters into you, your body sort of deciphers it. It decides what that information means and how you take action on it. And that decision, the way that it filters it, is through the heart. It's through the state of creation. It starts to integrate it into this state of love, of connection, of moving it from this divine space existing just in the imagination or in the mind. And now it moves into the heart. And the heart region is connected to our arms, our hands. This is where we mold things, where we create things with our hands. but for us to take it from divine inspiration and manifest it into reality where we can touch it and feel it, we have to move it from the belly. This is where we birth things. The belly is our fire. It's our internal fire. It is willpower. It is courage. It is strength and determination. So it means that anything that you've ever created in your life took some willingness and courage, some determination. So think about that. Even sitting down to just create art, there had to be a little bit of courage there. A courage to take something that was in your mind and bring it into reality, to put it on a canvas. We also take these ideas and they become buildings, or they become your home, or a mural, or they could be big. It could be products. It could be ideas that change the world in some way. But it all started as inspiration, and the level of courage and willingness and determination is going to be determined by how big is the thing that you're creating. So we need to start building the muscle of willpower, courage, and determination. You start with little things. You make little moves, but each time you can feel that feeling of fear bubbling up, of worry, of concern. I mean, it could be as simple as just making a phone call. You know, I remember doing sales at one point, and you're doing cold calls, and it's awful. I mean, if you think about it, it's just picking up a phone, dialing a number. Nobody's going to ever see you or know who you are, but it was terrifying. But you do it 100 times, and then it's nothing. So, but the first time, it's terrifying. And that is with everything. And that's just with the phone. But and then eventually, you know, you take that to in-person sales. And then you take it to selling big things like cars. And then to selling bigger things like houses or buildings. And each of those is a stepping stone. Each time you're moving through a greater sense of courage, of willingness and determination and power. So right now, I need you to sit down and look at where are the parameters of your comfort zone, and look at who do you allow into those parameters, how far do you stretch yourself outside of them, and at what point do you start to get a little bit nervous? And look at this as far as your job goes, as far as your family goes, maybe just traveling, maybe just exploring the world. I mean, so many people will tell me, oh, Debbie, I wish, you know, if I had enough money or, you know, whatever it is, I would travel the world. And then I ask them, oh, so do you travel? And they're like, well, no. And I'm, well, why not? Well, because I don't have the money. I go, yeah, but you could just hop in your car and drive somewhere. I mean, you have enough for that, right? There's places that you could see. If the travel bug was truly within you, you would find a way to do it. So there's something there holding you back. If you're really being called, find a way to do it now. There's always a way. I remember a boyfriend I had at one point. He had 2 children. One was a little girl. She, at one point, we'd been together for several years, but she was 12 or 13. And she had decided she wanted a horse. She was infatuated with horses, even though she had really had very little contact with them. So I said, well, if you really are in love with the idea of having a horse, then you would be happy with just going and visiting a horse, right? And she was like, yeah. So I encouraged her to figure out a way to do that now. We did not have a place to have a horse. We weren't going to board one. We weren't going to do any of those things. But we could find somebody who has a horse and who is boarding it and who maybe could use a little bit of help and could teach her about being with horses and give her the opportunity. So that's what we did. We went and knocked on doors. There was a neighborhood nearby. We saw horse stables. We just knocked on the doors. Luckily, we found a house that was right across from her school. So she started going 3 times a week and visiting this horse. And it wasn't long before she got bored of it. It was wonderful, however, because she got to have that experience. She didn't shy away from it. She showed up. She went and was with these horses. And these are the things that we have to do. We have to stop wishing and dreaming, but ask ourselves, is there a way we could bring the essence of the thing that we want into our life right now? I did this with my very first business. Well, one of my very first businesses. But, you know, I had decided I wanted to own my own yoga studio and I had no money. I was a realtor at the time and real estate was crashing. It was during around 2009 and in Washington State, well, I believe this was a pretty worldwide experience, or at least in the United States, where real estate just went and tanked. It was a horrendous time for realtors. And so I was a single mom with, you know, two children and a mortgage and, you know, this business I was supporting and all of this. And suddenly I'm just watching it all get wiped away. It was a very, very scary place to be. But at the time, I was working with some of these concepts. I had been holding seminars and classes and talking about how we create our own reality, how we don't have to, you know, the external world cannot impact our individual experiences. And so there I was, again, feeling the utter fear. It was a polarizing fear of everything falling apart, you know, and it was falling apart, but I found beauty there. It was so interesting when I felt like everything was sort of being swept away, you know, there was no more real estate to do. There was no more, you know, I was worried I was going to lose my house. It was like there was, everything was just going to be gone. At that point, I thought, well, there's nowhere to go but up. I kind of have released myself from any binds or ties or anything. And it felt a little freeing. It was like I fully felt this sensation of surrender, of just releasing the grip on anything, the hold on anything. And I felt free for a moment. And in that space, I thought, what do I want? What do I want to create? Now that everything is gone, if I was to create anything from this space, this infinite potential that kind of felt as though it was there, it was palpable, I decided, well, if I wanted to create anything, I want my own yoga studio. But see, I asked myself the same question I had asked that little girl. Why? What is it? Why do I need to own the yoga studio? There's plenty of yoga studios out there. I could go work at one as a manager. Why do I need to own it? And I thought, well, the most important part is I want to have control over what is being offered in that yoga studio. So the style of classes that we would have, some of the ways that the yoga would be revered. I came from yoga teachings that revered several parts of the practice that many of the studios were no longer honoring. You know, just sort of in this corporate mentality, they were kind of cutting out some of the more ancient and teachings of yoga. And I wanted that. I wanted it to be what I felt was authentic yoga, not distilled down. So that mattered. And I thought, well, then do I need to own it? Or is there a way that maybe if I owned it with somebody and they could bring in all the money and do all the things and they could even, you know, make the money off of it, but I would have control over what was being offered. And so I just opened up these windows of possibility in my mind, ways that this could happen. And it wasn't long after that that I ended up opening up a yoga studio. And at that point, I had $0. It's quite a profound, amazing, inspirational story as to how things happened. You see, at that point, I wasn't even teaching yoga. I was teaching, however, these seminars about law of attraction, about creating our own reality. And one of the people that attended one of those seminars where I simply asked the question, what do you want? And I noticed that was a difficult question for people to answer. That was when I first realized most people can't necessarily be attracting what they want because they are unclear on what that is. And I had a participant give me a call and say, Debbie, what is it that you want? And at that point, I had already been pretty clear in my mind about what it was that I wanted, that I wanted to own my own yoga studio. So of course, this is what I said to him. And he said, well, why don't you? And I said, I don't even teach yoga. And he said, well, why not? And I said, well, because I'm not certified. He said, why? And this was frustrating me a lot. I hadn't realized at the time that I guess the comfort zone, the parameters I placed around myself, and these were literal blocks. I don't know how long they had been there, but they were shackles that were holding me back, stories that were holding me back that had been there for a really long time. So the stories that were running through my head were, you don't know what it's like to be me. I have two kids. I'm a single mom. I have a house payment. I can't just take 30 days off to go and do some teacher training and nobody's going to give me $4,000 that I can just throw away, you know? And this was my block. This was my story. And, you know, I said, he goes, well, do you need to have a certification? And again, I'm getting more and more and more frustrated. And so finally, I thought to myself, wait a minute, are these blocks? Is this the same thing that I encounter when I'm working with people and I'm trying to get them to tell me what they want and they're telling me all the things that why they can't have it? And from an outside perspective, I can always see how it's just a story. And I'm always trying to free them from that story. And I wondered, oh my goodness, is that what's happening here? So I thought, I'm going to prove that no, this was different. So of course, I went into a gym nearby and asked one of the ladies there if they were hiring any yoga instructors. And she said, well, are you certified? And I said, no. And she said, well, do you have the blood pathogens, whatever, cert? And I said, no. And she said, well, do you have CPR? And I said, no. And she said, well, I suppose that we could use you for, an apps class. And I couldn't believe it. I was like, what just happened? And, you know, next thing you know, I started teaching. And it wasn't long after that before I ended up meeting a woman in one of my classes. And she came up to me and said, Debbie, do you really want to have your own yoga studio? And I said, yes, I do. And she said, I want to give it to you. She became my partner. It's quite amazing what can happen when we push ourselves out of our comfort zone. I can tell you, those first few classes, I wanted to run. I would sit outside in my car and think about all the ways I could leave. I would tremble. Pushing myself through what felt like quicksand just to walk in the door. But I always knew how I was going to feel afterwards. And each one of those steps, I mean, that simple moment of walking in and talking to her and then pushing myself each time I had to teach a class and all of that, gaining no money for it, very little money, but it was simply me expanding my consciousness. And all of that has led me to this moment where I'm able to speak into a microphone for this podcast or do interviews or I wrote a book. All of these things stemmed from stepping outside of my comfort zone. I hope today you look at, is there a way that you can encourage yourself off the edge of a cliff? Is there something that you know you need to do, but you're terrified? Now is the time. Step into your courage. Step into your power. Remember that you are amazing, and that inspiration would not be in your heart unless you were destined for it. Thank you so much again for listening to this podcast. I always love your comments and your feedback. Please like and subscribe. And I look forward to seeing you on the next one.